very challenging. We all have a lot of concerns, troubles, problems, difficulties. We know that. And Christ invites us to find rest in Him. We heard that. Yet we do not readily come to Him for help. What do you normally do when you have problem? What do you normally do when you have difficult concern, struggles? Do you search for biblical principles or just follow your instinct? Seek advice from experts. Search the internet for popular advices, and someone refuted a popular advisory and he referred it to what Christ Jesus said. Popular advice is follow your heart. Follow your heart. That's popular. Have you heard that before? Well, what did Jesus say? Follow me. Another advice says, be true to yourself. Follow your passion. That is what we hear from the world. What did Jesus say? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. And still, they advise us, be yourself. Be yourself. Again, what did Jesus say? Believe in me. Believe in yourself. That word says, the Lord Jesus says, believe in me. While we live in this world, those temporary, those advisories, they can be useful in this world, like temporal fantasies. Temporal fantasies can easily entertain us. We have got to keep in mind that we are just transient in this world. Our eternal destination is heaven. Amen? We are pilgrims. We are transients in this world. And while waiting for the return of Christ, we have to be alert. We have to keep in mind what Apostle Paul warned in Romans chapter 2, verse 8. Let's read. But those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. What is self-seeking? That is when we follow our heart. That is when we want to be true to ourselves. That is when we follow our passion. That is when believing in our capability, ourself, that is being self-seeking. We want to magnify the self. Well, intellectual advisories from human beings can be useful temporarily. They publish what they cherish. They publish what they think is best for them. And subscribers can be enticed, attracted to cherish, to try what others would advise. They would like to try similar fantasies that others have said they experience. Well, we can be attracted. We want to try what others had experienced. We want to taste amazing things that others have tried. What do you do during Thanksgiving Day? You want to try what others have tried. Nobody is exempted. Everyone wants to have wonderful memories. Hopefully, those memories will last forever. Well, it will last as long as the social media is there, but I don't know how long social media is there. It warns in Luke chapter 9, verse 25. Let's read. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit their very self? That's very tough. Have you ever wondered if Christ prohibit us to try what others had enjoyed? Did the Lord say, don't try what others are trying? Did God say, ignore your passion, do not believe in yourself? Will He prevent us to follow our heart? Will the Lord prevent us to follow our passion? No, but we pray that God gives us wisdom to practically obey His grand plan for us. And that may even include your passion, our passion, I don't know. The scripture has numerous records when God blessed believers with material possessions, material things. Those who obeyed Him, those who trusted Him. Take for example Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, King David, Jabez, Job, Queen Esther, Prophet Daniel, to name a few. Do you believe that the Lord uses material blessing as practical proof that He really cares for each of us, for our needs, our practical needs, and not just spiritual needs? God created this material world. God created this world, this physical world, meaning He cares, right? Even before He created human beings, everything was set in place. God did not create human being first. Why? What will we eat? How can we breathe if there's no air? If God created human being first of all, He created first things that we need. Lastly, He created man, human beings. He prepared everything, practical things, so that we should think that God cares for our practical needs and spiritual needs. And by faith, we believe that. Let's reflect on Romans chapter 10, verse 12. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. When it says call on Him, that is, we trust Him. We trust Him for our needs, emotional needs, relational needs, intellectual needs, mental needs, spiritual needs. By faith we believe that the Lord blesses all who believes in Him, who call on Him. How do you practically evaluate if your faith is active or not? Maybe you say, I have faith in God. Maybe, yes. But maybe your faith is not active or not yet. How do you evaluate it? When our faith is active, we can visualize, we can see. The Lord help us imagine the blessing included in the commands. When He commands us, we see it's for us. We trust that God designed His commands to bless us when we obey. That is what we see. We obey the Lord because we know, we look beyond obedience. There is something great that the Lord prepared. That is why He gave us those instructions. And to believe is to obey. Only by faith we believe God, that is. Only by faith we obey God. We can only obey God when we believe that His command is favorable to us. When we cannot imagine that that command is favorable to us, there's this resistance in the heart. We resist, we disregard, we do not want to obey because we cannot see it. So when we hear the word of God, when He commands us, if it is commands and we sense that resistance in us, instead of ignoring it, ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith. Help me visualize that You have greater plan, grand plan, why You give me this instruction. And God blesses us with practical things when we obey Him, even eternal things. Can you agree that prosperity and progress, financial prosperity or financial progress, is blessing from God? Can you agree? Let's read again verse 8 from our passage. Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign, so that we also might reign with you. Personally, how do you interpret the phrase, you have all you want? You have all you want. There should be satisfaction if that's the case, right? It is already, it is properly interpreted that you are satisfied, you are contented, you are satiated. It's kind of like if you are eating, you have a lot of food, and you want to eat, even with a lot of food, you have eaten all you want, and you do not eat more because you know you will throw up. You are not short of anything. You have no deficiency, not needy, not poor. That is what it means. Did Apostle Paul suggest that the believers in the church of Corinth have financially progressed? But why does God not allow all of us to have financial progress, just like other millionaires, billionaires even? What do you normally observe from celebrities who have prospered financially? Well, there are humble celebrities. They do not want others to know what they are doing good to others. But there are those who are entitled personalities. They boast about their wealth. They boast about their fancy clothes. They boast about their fancy cars. And you can easily observe that during Oscar something like that. What is that? Oscar Award, what else? Those kinds of awards. Instead of that, they are looking forward to the award, they are taking celebrities or will be taking or coming in there. Even during State of the Nation address back in the Philippines, those celebrities and politicians, they would have to parade, going to their seat. They have that red carpet. One by one, they would walk. And newspaper or photographers would come and take a picture. And that is their what they publish, more than what they have heard from the address. Why is that? That's human nature, to flaunt, to boast their wealth, their fancy clothes, even fancy cars. Why? Are they trying to intimidate ordinary people? Ordinary people just wear ordinary clothes. They assume that they have power. They assume that they have authority to do whatever they want. The rich people among the Corinthian Christians, they exemplified such behavior of entitlement. And that is what Apostle Paul rebuked them. They verbally declared their preferred leader. They said, I have the right to choose my preferred leader. Kind of like, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter, I follow the Lord. It's sad to admit that in every generation, believers would just display their preference when electing leaders. In a little while, we will be electing leaders. What qualification do you prefer when you elect church leaders? Have you observed any ordinary Christian who would gladly accept the challenge of leadership ministry in the church? Biblically, leadership is a spiritual gift. And the Holy Spirit sustains ministry leaders with wisdom to accomplish his purposes. Now, somewhere in Asia, there was this ordinary believer. He was very active in participating in the ministries. He was generous, and he was nominated into the board of deacons. And then he objected and turned down his nomination. Why? Why don't you want to accept that nomination? People would ask those who nominate for him. You are good in leadership. Humorously, he said, I'm not a manager. Why? Why do you need to be a manager to become a deacon in the church? Well, he said, his biblical argument was 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 to 5, when it says, he must manage his own family well. Remember that term. He must manage. Manage. That is the term for manager. Manage. See that his children obey him. He must do so in a manner worthy of respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He focused on the term manage so that he would say the qualification of deacons is manager. Truly, he argued that he was not qualified because he was not a manager. In that particular church, most deacons were managers in their workplaces. Maybe he supposed that church leaders were managers who were managers. He may have supposed that they will ignore, they will not listen to his suggestions, they will not consider his ideas as worthy to be considered, or he may have thought that, no, I will just be wasting my time there listening to what they are saying because I'm not a manager. Well, practically, such behavior had exemplified that dependence on human ability, human qualification, human intellect, not depending upon the Lord. When we rely upon human effort, it is easily that we can be dissuaded to reject the challenge to serve the Lord. When we look at our qualification, we can be discouraged, disappointed. Did God determine believers who reject nomination? God anointed those he had chosen to become leaders. The church of Corinth was divided by their preferred leader. They assumed that they had the authority to follow whoever they chose as leader. Some of them said, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter, I follow Cephas, Peter. Did they prefer preachers who preach on what they wish to hear? We are also warned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. This biblical warning happened among the Corinthians, and it happens in every generation. When Apostle Paul rebuked the Corinthians, it also served as rebuke and warning against possible similar situation in any local church. Can you agree? Well, did Apostle Paul hint some sort of resentment also? When he wrote, some sadness when he wrote, you have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish you really have begun to reign, so that we also might reign with you. Well, despite their material prosperity, the Christians in the Corinthian church, they were not spiritually mature yet at the time. But why did Apostle Paul say that God put them on display at the end of procession? Let's read again verse 9 of our passage. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession. Like those condemned to die in the arena, we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well, to human beings. Dramatically, Apostle Paul interpreted their situation as apostles sent out to preach the gospel of Christ just for a show, just for display, just for a spectacle for the whole world to watch. Do you sense sadness there? Did Apostle Paul resent that their message has little value and did not have much impact or significance to the church in Corinth, that they did not learn from them? Did Apostle Paul imply that their sacrifices, their effort among the Corinthians had been taken for granted, seemingly? Their preference of leader implied assumption of authority to choose who should teach them what they want to hear. They rejected anyone they didn't prefer. That was why they chose their preferred leader. But how should we associate that attitude to what was declared in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13? Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach in the faith, unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and fullness of Christ. Look at that. It is Christ himself who gave leaders, the apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, teachers in the church. Yet we elect church leaders. Do you suppose that it is also the Lord who gives us that decision on who should be elected? We pray for guidance. We pray that the Lord would give us that decision. And by faith, we believe that our decision is the answer of the Lord to our prayer, right? Even when the answer of the Lord may not be what we expect. Like we prayed for the election in Manitoba, there was a person you have voted, but it was not elected, but you prayed. Why is it that the Lord did not answer your prayer? The Lord answered your prayers, but it's not what you expected. In a sense, we are just instrument of Christ. When we pray for election, pray for God to give us leaders in the church. Why did Paul rebuke the Corinthians to choose their preferred preacher then, if that's the case? Why? You heard the argument. Which comes first? Egg or chicken? Which comes first? Egg or chicken? Eggs come from chicken. But chicken are hearts from egg. Listen carefully. This is how you would answer that question. Listen carefully. God created chicken first because why? Egg needs mother hen to keep warm until they hatch. Similarly, God created Adam and Eve as mature human beings. Instead of creating infants first, I would like to see this infant grow. I would like to see infant Adam grow and Eve grow and see how they can become adolescents and become adult. That was not the case. He created Adam and Eve as mature human beings, right? Why? Because newly born human infants do not have the capability to prepare food. They cannot feed themselves. God is wise. God is wise. So, when somebody asks you which comes first, chicken or egg, they are not very wise because they do not know the answer. Would infants declare, "I preferred Pastor Lawrence as my father"? I hope that was the declaration of my children. But no, they have no preference as infants. Adults can help infants, not vice versa. Infants cannot help adults. Similarly, Christ our Creator gives preachers, teachers, leaders to a local church. Why? To equip, to train, help us grow mature until we reach unity in faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose. To be united in faith, to be united in our knowledge as we mature to the likeness of Christ. Together, let's reflect. Seriously reflect what it states in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it? So when we are dependent on ourselves, we can be misled. We can be misled to choose whatever we want to choose. The Lord knows that we prefer leaders who agree with us. Why not? It's good to have leaders who agree with you, right? And we pray that the Lord guides us when we choose ministry leaders. Trust that the Lord has anointed all elected church leaders. We also trust that those who rejected their leadership nomination, they have been called to another ministry involvement, not just in leadership ministry. There are different kinds of ministry. Leadership ministry is one of them. When we are involved in Christian ministry, in any kind of ministry, not just leadership ministry, it is a privilege for us to practice faith in the Lord. Let's read again verse 10 of our passage and verse 11 too. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags, we are brutally treated, we are homeless. Have you discovered your privilege being a Christian? Have you personally proven if you can be satisfied in plenty, satisfied in scarcity? For example, you have bought brand new car. Are you satisfied with that brand new car? Now, after a few years, your car, brand new car, become not brand new car. It's already old car. Will you be still satisfied with that? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Have you ever memorized that? We can do all things. We can be satisfied in plenty. We can be satisfied in scarcity. In Christ, we've got wisdom. Christ, the wisdom of God, the power of God. In Christ, we've got wisdom and honor. Amen. In Christ, to believe in Christ, you will never be put to shame. Do you believe that? So why did Apostle Paul testify that they were fools in Christ? That they were weak, they were dishonored, they were hungry, they were thirsty, they were in rags, they were brutally treated, they were homeless. Did Apostle Paul try to get sympathy from the rich Corinthians so that they would send financial support? Well, he described those situations, challenging situations, that they endured as apostles of Christ. He testified that his personal interpretation with that, as if God had paraded them on display at a procession, just like criminals condemned to die. That is his interpretation. He felt like they have been made a spectacle, a display, a show to the whole world to see, for angels, for human beings. Well, in the first century, criminals were sentenced to death. They were paraded before execution. Accordingly, it happened in our hometown. I heard stories when a naughty resident would do something that is not acceptable to the whole community. The councilors would and police would parade him in the town. But when I had my senses, I didn't see anything, but I heard those situations back in the days, accordingly. And that was also what they did to our Savior, Jesus Christ. They paraded him to humiliate him as if he was a criminal. He was crucified with the criminals. Did the apostle complain about such situation? Apostle Paul testified that he wants to know the death and resurrection of Christ, to experience it. And Christ, the Lord himself, said he chose him, he chose Apostle Paul for him to experience that struggle, difficulties, challenges that he did to Christians. He will suffer for Christ. But the Lord provided him grace. It's the grace of God is sufficient. Apostle Paul testified in that. Even in he wrote to the Corinthians. So this was not a complaint then. It was not. He was not telling that I am complaining about this. He is not. He was just telling possible situation that may happen to everyone who follow Christ, I mean. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 11, this is a very popular passage, but let's read together. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply the increase of your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That last part, I was reading it. I was keep on reading it. And there is this humorous idea that came to mind, as if Apostle Paul indirectly say, you can be generous through us, meaning you help us, and the result will be thanksgiving to God. Indeed, that reflect on this. If Apostle Paul, if any preacher complain against their being homeless, not being treated, they are needy, if they complain about that, hungry, in rags, will they listen when he preaches that God is able to bless abundantly? If I would complain about being not so sufficient in many things. And I say, God would bless you abundantly. Would you believe that? The phrase, God is able to bless abundantly, it is also interpreted as God is able to bless more than enough. Abundantly is more than enough. God is able to bless more than what we need so that we can be generous, and that generosity will result to thanksgiving to God. Verse 11. When Apostle Paul mentioned that they were fools for Christ, that they were weak, they were dishonored, that they were hungry, that they were thirsty, they were in rag, they were brutally treated, and they were homeless, he testified of possible situation we may go through and experience sufficient grace of God. God allows us to experience similar situation for us to seek Him, and that when we experience that His blessing, we praise Him. It's not a complaint when Apostle Paul mentioned that. Amazingly, Apostle Paul received ample supply, sufficient supply, sufficient support. Well, not from the church on Corinth. Did the Corinthian Christians read what Paul said or testified in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 to 15? Think about this. Let's read. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my trouble. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. Accordingly, the city of Philippi was a colony designed for retirees who served the Roman army to live there, mostly accordingly. So there were all of those living there, most of them were older people, retirees. And you know, many of you retirees, if you do not have accumulated much wealth, it's really hard to be retired. I heard of people who were retired going back to work because their retirement benefits is not enough for them. So don't ever look for retirement if you have not accumulated much worth. Well, keep on working better for that. So the Philippians were not rich. They were not rich, but they were generous. And we can be generous when the Holy Spirit of God, the generous Spirit of God, inspires us to be generous. And we can learn the secret of being content in every situation. Being content in plenty, being content in scarcity. That is the application of when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be satisfied in plenty. I can be satisfied in scarcity. That is the initial application of that. But you can still interpret it the way you interpret, as long as the Lord inspires you. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Those privileges of believers, they are available by faith in Christ. If you don't sense that yet, keep praying, keep asking, Lord, increase my faith, that I may trust you that I can do all things, that I can be wise, that I have wisdom. Pray for wisdom that you may know, follow the path that the Lord had prepared for you. Let's stand up and let's ask the Lord and appeal to Him.